So I grew up in the hood around, you know, people buying and selling drugs. They were the ones with all the power. So I looked up to them and eventually started doing the same thing, which nearly destroyed my life.
Real life starts now.
This is Real Life Radio Show with On Lay.
I felt alone. I felt lost. I felt scared.
Real stories.
I was so desperate in living such a dark and callous life.
Real people.
I was thinking there was no purpose for my life. There's no reason for me to be here.
Real problems.
I told my dad, if you try to take these drugs, I'm going to kill you.
One solution. God.
Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And now your host, On Lay.
Hi, this is Evangelist On Lay. Welcome to the Real Life Radio Show, where we're going to talk to real people who had real problems but found answers in a real God. Today, we're going to talk about why some men need multiple partners in their lives and why some men become womanizers. It really is terrible to hear when a woman discovers that her man is also the man for another woman. How her heart breaks and how she feels about that can be something shocking and really destabilizing for a girl. But what drives men like this to live this way? And is there any hope to walk away from a lifestyle of having multiple women? Well, today we'll have Antonio Francis, who grew up seeing people around him value drugs, money, power, and unlimited sexual encounters. He saw men around him living this way. He modeled after that lifestyle until he found out it was so empty. Today he's going to tell us the ins and outs of living that lifestyle, and he's going to reveal the truth about going that way. However, Antonio is a Christian today who has dedicated his life to wait for his wife of promise and has since repented of these ways. Antonio, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Antonio, man. So many young people are like interested in how good looking they are, how many people they slept with. They call it a body count. Let me ask you a question. Before you knew Christ, was this an important thing for you as well, as we see it so popular in modern culture today?
Yes, it was very important to me. I was a product of my environment.
Why was it? Do you think it like makes people feel more confident or something like that? Is it to build more confidence? Where is that all coming from?
Yes, it builds more confidence. Plus, it's like a competition. Everybody just competing on who can have sex with the most women, or who can get the most beautiful women, or who can get the woman so they can brag about, oh yeah, I had sex with her, or I got her, she mine, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So this is how all the guys would be talking with each other anyway. Would people often be bragging about having multiple relationships? Was that seen in a more positive light?
Everybody bragged about it. And if you didn't get women, they looked down on you like, oh, he don't get no women. Like, you know?
Dang.
Yeah. So they made you look weak if you don't get women.
Okay. So there's a lot of peer pressure that's going on here then.
A lot of peer pressure.
Wow. So what was your thinking during that time to allow you to do something like that? Did you sometimes feel bad about the girls if they found out about each other and stuff like that?
Well, I never really felt bad because I never really was in committed relationships. It's like I kind of made it known to the women that this how I'm living. So the ones that accepted it. But it was a lot of good women that I missed out on because of I was living like that, and they wouldn't accept that.
I see.
A lot of those women today are married, got families now, you know. I'm proud of them.
Wow.
The woman that didn't accept that lifestyle, they living good now.
Wow, that's crazy, man. Tell us, during this time, you did things to attract these girls. Of course, you're a handsome guy, but there's also things that you were doing. What was that?
Well, I was selling drugs to make money. I was doing whatever it takes to make money. You know, when we all come from poverty and a woman see a man grinding to make money, she gonna feel like, okay, I can talk to him because he can help me out. Plus, other women want him, so everybody want what everybody wants. It's like chasing a commodity.
Okay, so they were chasing you. Even though you were chasing them, you made yourself an attraction to them during this time, and they were chasing you.
Right.
Wow. And then how did you attain so much money? How much money were we talking about?
Well, I wouldn't say I just had a massive amount of money, but I would say I would make like $800 in a week.
Wow. You were a young man. You were in high school during this time.
Yeah.
So you're making $2,400 a month in high school.
On a good month, yes.
Okay. And what got you selling drugs? Why drugs? Did you like the drugs? Did you use the drugs? What was it about the drugs?
Well, no, I didn't like the drugs. I smoked weed. I smoked marijuana, but I never had an addictive personality. So only thing I wanted was the money. Because first of all, I wanted to get out of poverty. I never saw that as an end goal for me. I knew it was always more for me, but I didn't know what it was. But today I know that it was God.
Wow. So you grew up in poverty then?
Yes.
What was that like?
So growing up in poverty is like everybody in poverty around you. So it's kind of like normalized. But my mom never let us normalize it because she always would drive us like 30 minutes to an hour away so we could see the nice neighborhoods.
Oh.
Then eventually when she came up with enough money, she moved us to Orlando, which is a way better place than Belgrade, the small town in South Florida where I'm from. So, you know, exposure expands your expectations. So she exposed us to a lot so we can expect more out of life.
Interesting. But your means was just find a way to get the money, and money equaled deliverance from this lifestyle. Did you experience a lot of pain in poverty? Because some people, they would say, I never even knew. What about the way you grew up where there was so much pain? Describe that a little bit for us.
Well, first of all, when I was in my mom's stomach, my dad went to prison for murder.
Oh, wow.
I came out of the womb with no father. The first time I saw my dad was through a prison visit. And then growing up, I found out that he'd been disclaiming me my whole life, telling people that I'm not his child.
Oh, man.
So, you know, growing up with this rejection and growing up in the building that my grandma lived in, it was like a one-room shack. You open the door, you could look back, you could see the back door. When you walk out, it's a abandoned building next door full of drug addicts. They live in this building, abandoned building. So walking through the alley, you're seeing bullets on the ground, tampons, condoms on the ground, people done doodled in the alley you got to walk through.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Seeing people one day, next day, you're seeing them in a casket.
Wow. That's pretty emotionally painful. You're basically going to school and you're seeing dead people as a child.
Well, not necessarily seeing the bodies, but you'll see people one day, and the next day you hear, oh, such and such done got killed.
Wow.
And you're like, what? I just saw him yesterday.
That's traumatic. And that was just normal life for you, the way you grew up.
It was normal life for me. And then just seeing like people having sex. Sex was like normalized. Even as a kid, we just wanted to have sex.
Like just talking about it? Everyone was just talking about it like crazy?
Yeah. 5 years old, thinking about sex.
What? Holy cow. So you're growing up in that. It's being modeled to you. Now, your father wasn't involved in your life. Do you feel like the absence of your father played a role in where your life ended up?
Played a major role in where my life ended up.
Really? Why? Why is that?
Why? Because, first of all, my father was a womanizer. So I grew up and became a womanizer. My father was a drug dealer. I became a drug dealer. He was a robber. Robbing was not my thing, but I did it when I felt like I had no other way to make money. He was a murderer. I almost became a murderer.
Wow.
But God, like, grabbed a hold of my life before I got a chance to murder somebody.
Wow. Now, I understand one day someone stole $1,000 from you, and you were set on getting revenge and killing this person. Tell us what happened.
Well, I said in my mind that I was going to kill this guy. The first time I said in my mind, I'm going to go kill him, I found out somebody was telling me where he lived. They were saying it was going to be kids in the house, all that. I didn't care who was in the house.
Wow.
I wanted revenge on anybody that was around him. I heard a loud voice say, if you do it, you're going to die or go to prison for the rest of your life. A second time I tried, and one of my friends, I asked him, can I hold his gun? Because one of my other friends went to jail with my gun. So when he came to bring me his gun, his brother came with him. His brother said, what you need a gun for? I say, some dude robbed me. I need to go kill him. He like, what they took? I told him they took $1,000. This man pulled out $1,000 and gave it to me.
To say, don't kill him, just take the $1,000?
No.
Oh, wait, what do you mean?
He gave me the $1,000 and he offered to go kill them for me.
Oh.
So it's like God was giving me ways out. But in my mind, I'm like, nah, I'm a man. I want to do it on my own. But pride almost ended my life.
Wow. Let me ask you a question, though, because how did it even get to the point where he stole $1,000 from you?
Because I was in the back seat of a car. I wanted to go buy some drugs from him.
Mm-hmm.
He stuck the gun in my stomach and said, where the money at? So I said, it's in my pocket. He took it. I said, hey, man, it ain't worth my life. Go ahead and take it. So I let him get it.
So you saw him. You knew who exactly it was.
Yeah, he had on no mask, no nothing. His eyes was green. It's like you could see the demons in his eyes.
Dang. Antonio, let's stop here. Thanks so much for revealing so much of the truth of what happened in your past. I want to have you back to describe how much more your life changed from all of this. Thanks so much for joining us, Antonio.
Yes.
Don't go anywhere. I have some deep thoughts to share with you right after the break.
If you have a testimony you would like to share, you can audition to be on our show. Just go to www.therealliferadioshow.com. Click on Tell Us Your Story and follow the directions. You can fill out the guest release form and we will get back with you as soon as possible. If you need prayer or someone to talk to, you can always text us at 877-325-8030. Again, that's 877-325-8030. We look forward to seeing your text.
Real Life Radio is a ministry of Awakening the Nations, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that depends on your donations. If you would like to find out more about us or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit our website at www.therealliferadioshow.com. That's www.therealliferadioshow.com. Please help us to expand the reach of these shows. We couldn't do it without you. More Real Life starts now.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go deeper into what you just heard. So what do you think about this? Listening to Antonio's story, it seems like he really absorbed what the other men around him in the community were doing by having multiple partners. And I think, you know, today, that could be the norm, right? I mean, for Antonio, it was all about getting any sex and as much of it as he wanted. And I think, you know, there's some people who would say, well, that's the meaning of life, isn't it? Isn't that the definition of success? No, it's not. Let me explain. The truth about living this type of lifestyle is that it's empty and shallow. Let me explain. You see, the womanizer uses women to get what they want out of them. You even heard it from Antonio. And we could say he was a womanizer. He says it himself. He would do whatever it took, say whatever he needed to say to get the woman to give him what he wanted. And then he would discard them once he got what he got. Do you think this is fulfilling? Do you think this is success? A life with many relationships that are shallow, meaningless, mean nothing, but just about someone's wants, what someone desires for that moment. But those desires will pass away. See, ancient scripture says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4 through 5, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, sex was created to be done in the bonds of marriage. It was designed to be special, to be a special union between one man and one woman. It's something that's designed to be one of the most special bonds between two people. It's not meaningless, but rather it's supposed to be about love, sacrifice, leading, and following. Anything else is fornication and adultery. Fornication is sex outside of the bonds of marriage. So this lifestyle of just going for whatever and living a life of covetousness is what the Bible says. It's not fulfilling. It's like a mirage. It's not real. Ancient scripture says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Meaning that true happiness is actually realizing who you're married to and being happy with that. Lord Jesus, I'm praying for the person who's saying, you know what? Nobody knows, but I have this struggle. I have this covetousness that's working on the inside of me. Lord Jesus, help us to understand that that is not going to bring fulfillment. Jesus, we repent of that sin. We repent of those things. We ask, Lord Jesus, for you to come. Forgive us of our sins. Wash us clean. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Hope you're blessed by this testimony, and I know that your life was touched.
You can listen to The Real Life Radio Show on Spotify, Alexa, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Samsung, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. See you next time.